plate a potential nugget.
And going back to your journey, Lloyd, you talk about hitting the pause button in 1993 when I read your book. Talk to us a little bit about how leaders can build that pause in their life as they, you know, approach that sort of phase of life. What have you discovered about building that pause for people to take stock?
Yeah, great. It's not easy to do, right? Because our lives are busy. But if you look at the, if you ever watch the Olympics and you watch the swimmers, it's interesting that every swimmer swims hard into the pool wall, and then they do a flip turn, and they push off the wall to start the next lap. And as they push off the wall, they take a glide. And they don't take the glide because they're lazy, and they don't take the glide because they're tired. They take the glide because that's how you win. And it's important to go through the water as smoothly and as fast as you can, and that's one way to do it. So the same is true with transitions in life. When you sense that there's a transition, a new season is coming, then it's important to take some time to pause and reflect as opposed to just work on the solution. One of the most common mistakes that managers and executives make when they begin a transition in their life is they work on the solution too quickly. Now, we would never do that in our business. We wouldn't start naming a product or working on advertising. We start with, who's the customer? What does the customer consider value? What is our value proposition as a result of that? What is our strategy? We work through all of these things before we name the product and we come up with creative advertising. So, you know, when you're in transition, the temptation is to start to ask the question, what will I do next? And it's the wrong question. You have to start with some inside questions. Who am I? What am I good at? What do I care about? What are my long-term desired results, or what are my long-term metrics? And so when you think about being chief life officer, it's about knowing the long-term metrics in your life. It's about knowing your role and your mission. It's about allocating, investing your time, not just spending your time. These are all things that chief investment officers do inside a company, right? You don't just give your time away. You don't just give your capital away. You invest your capital. So invest your time based on your long-term metrics. And so I would say that, you know, the key thing is to in a pause is to create some daily time of silence and solitude, some weekly Sabbath time where you take time. You know, what strategic coach teaches is you have focus days, buffer days, and off days. And when they coach executives, they tell them the most important days are the off days. You need to count them. So if you don't have any off days, you can't reflect. You know, it's interesting that the chief of staff for Bill Clinton convinced him to take 2 hours every day with no meeting scheduled just to think. Now, if the president of the United States can take 2 hours every day just to think, I think you can do that. So, and then to take a more extended time every year, what I do is a silent spiritual retreat day, three days a year, three separate times a year. I take a day alone that I'm silent, and it's a time of reflection and thinking, and I come back to my plan. And so now if you're in transition where you...
Do you travel somewhere to do that, Lloyd, or do you do that at home?
Yeah, no, I don't do it at home, Deepak, because there's so many distractions. There's, you know, something needs cleaning, something needs mowing or whatever, or fixing. I go someplace that's beautiful, it's quiet, and do you do that a bit in your life? Do you take some time to think?
Not in as structured a way as you do, Lloyd, but I do like to sort of have do nothing days, right? Where you just but I haven't tried complete silence. One of the things on my list is there's something called Vipassana meditation, where you go on a silence retreat for about 12, 13 days. It's been on my to-do list. I haven't gone there yet.
Yeah. And that's probably good for our listeners to hear, is that, you know, it's good to have these aspirational goals and work towards them. And you may not get there 12, 13 days right off the bat, but you might be able to do one, two full days. Hmm. I found my first silent day drove me crazy. You know, I just wasn't accomplishing anything. Everybody's getting ahead of me. And finally, after a few of those, I learned that I actually am accomplishing something much more than I ever dreamt. And without doing it, I'm sacrificing. Now, if some of your listeners, Deepak, have a transition where they have the luxury of taking more time for a glide, for a pause, you need to structure the time. You can't just sit and stick and stare at your tummy, you know, for 3 weeks. You have to structure the time or you won't do well with it. So you want to work through a process. This is what the Halftime Institute does, is it creates a process for people to work with peers to gain clarity. And you want to think about it this way: get clear, get free, and get going. You don't want to get going first, because you could be going in the wrong direction. And nothing worse than running really, really fast in the wrong direction. You get clear, and then you get free, and then you get going. Now, the clear part is, who am I? What am I passionate about? What's my purpose in life? What are my long-term metrics? That's clarity. The get free is getting rid of the clutter in your life, those good things that are the enemy of the best things. My wife and I just spent 3 weeks in Germany because our middle daughter got married, and she married a German. And so the wedding was, thank you, it was there. And so we said to ourselves, in the interest of simplicity, let us just take a backpack each, no suitcase, and we will only take public transit. No Ubers, no limos, no rented cars. So we each took a 13-pound backpack. Now, she was going to be the mother of the bride. Think about that. If you're the mother of the bride and you're traveling in jeans with a 13-pound backpack, well, it was so freeing.
And how did your daughter see? Did your daughter have an opinion on this?
Well, my wife didn't wear the jeans. She borrowed a friend's dress in Germany, and she looked beautiful.
Lovely.
Isn't that funny? And simplicity forced us to be more creative. And what happened is she borrowed the dress from the bridegroom's mom, and wow, it turned out to be a wonderful bond between those two women. You see, it forced us to be more creative. And so, you know, we went all around Berlin on little scooters that you rent, that you get, like, you know, like with your app for like 20 cents a minute.
Got it.
It was such an adventure and so freeing. So that's what it is to get free. There's a song that says you can't imagine the freedom you find from the things you leave behind.
Who's this by, out of curiosity?
Michael Card, you can't imagine the freedom you find from the things you leave behind. So very often at midlife, things like lifestyle and toys and cars and club memberships and even friends that are dragging us down, sometimes there are necessary endings, right?
Something similar came up in my conversation with one of my earlier guests, Herminia Ibarra of London Business School. She speaks about the notion of pausing to reinvent.
It's really about bandwidth. And the more what we're trying to do is non-habitual, the more you also need not just clock time, but mental availability, the sense that you can kind of step back and reflect, and you're not going to jump into something just because it's come to you on a silver platter. And so, you know, it's in the workplace, it manifests itself by just being too busy and crammed with meetings. And so in leadership transition work, what we find is that people only leave such small slivers of time that then all they could do is fill it with a few minutes of answering emails because it's not big enough to do anything else. And so thinking about precisely chunking it a little bit more so that you can do more value-added things is important. In career transition, it's a little bit different. It is oftentimes you have to let the process go for a while before you actually start to get the ahas of what you're trying to do and what you're really running away from and what you would really like instead. It's not all that obvious at first. And so it takes going through the process. But what happens is people get kind of nervous once it's been a few months or, you know, gosh, you know, what's it going to look like on my CV? And I'm meeting the same people and they're saying, oh, are you still on that sabbatical? Or, you know, and it feels quite not right. And so they can sabotage themselves because it feels like they're being idle when in fact, maybe what they're doing is just recouping, gathering forces, incubating ideas. They haven't found the right thing yet, but that time can be quite necessary, even if it's uncomfortable to go through it.
If this topic is of interest, do look up my conversation with Herminia Ibarra. You might also like the playlist Reinventing Self, where several leaders speak about how they move from one orbit to another.